You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. I am rejoined by my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome, Tammy.
Good to be here.
All right. So here's the thing, Tammy. I want to talk about when it comes to conservative advice, okay, mm-hmm. conservative financial advice and conservative mortgage advice, okay, a lot of people since the Great Depression have had this goal to pay off their mortgage. Okay, back in the Great Depression, there was a clause in mortgages where they could just call a note due at any time. Okay, they could, and they would, when there was a run on the banks, they would just call everybody's note due.
Right.
And people that couldn't just cough up the money to pay off their mortgage, they'd end up foreclosing on it to take their property back because the bank needed anything that they could get a hold of. Well, those clauses are long gone in normal mortgages. But that thinking has gotten passed down through the years from our Depression era parents and grandparents that mm-hmm. grew up in that mm-hmm. And taught people to have this mortgage burning party that at the point when they can pay off their house, they can have this huge celebration when their house is paid off.
Right.
So then the question becomes, paying off the home, if that's the goal, is that really the best option?
Right.
And what we're going to talk about, so there's a book called The Truth About Money by Rick Edelman from Edelman mm-hmm. Financial. And Rick's a best-selling author. I love a bunch of his books. I mean, there's several of his books I've really liked a lot. But The Truth About Money, in that book, he talked about the 11 great reasons to carry a big, long mortgage. And it's interesting because that title is going to make some people squirm right now because it's so ingrained in them to want to get that mortgage paid off as quickly as they can.
That's true.
Somebody that wants to pay off that mortgage, I'm not going to criticize them for it, and I'm not going to tell them they shouldn't do it, but it may not be the best financial decision.
Yeah, we're kind of seeing some of that, I'll say the repercussions of doing that, of not having a credit score and things like that, when that's like the number one thing if you want to buy. Or, let's say you've paid off your family home. It's been however many years, and now you want to downsize, and now you don't have a credit score because you haven't had a mortgage for a long time. So that's a tricky thing, place to be.
Yeah, so let's start with the 11 reasons to carry mm-hmm. a big, long mortgage, which came from Rick Edelman in The Truth About Money. So Tammy, what's number one?
Well, one of his first reasons that he shares is your mortgage doesn't affect your home's value. So basically the idea behind this is that it doesn't matter if you have a mortgage or not. The value of your home is going to increase or it's going to decrease. But that's not going to affect your mortgage necessarily.
Right. It doesn't have anything to do with your mortgage.
Right.
Because we're not talking about your equity. We're talking about your home's value.
The home value. Right. And he kind of gives an example of that. It's like, why owning your house outright is like having buried money under a mattress. So, and since the house will grow and the value will go up with or without one, an equity you currently have in the house is essential, earning no interest. So let's talk about that a little bit, because we were kind of saying earlier off air about this whole idea. It just, the statement itself that the mortgage doesn't affect your home's value, I think everybody could agree with.
Yes, that the mortgage has nothing to do with your home's value.
Right.
The value is going to appreciate or depreciate or do nothing, no matter what your mortgage does.
Right, right. And okay. So some of the fears behind that, Doug, are what do you see?
Well, I think some people may have some fear because they're immediately going to associate their home's value with equity, mm-hmm. saying that you're going to have more equity if you don't have a mortgage.
Right.
And yes, and we're going to actually talk about that on the next reason. But I think that some of the fears, and I'd say just focus on that reason, is that your mortgage doesn't affect your home's value.
Right.
That's a true statement that really can't be debated.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to reason number two in The Truth About Money. So the reason number two to carry a big, long mortgage is that a mortgage won't stop you from building equity in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody wants to build equity. Okay. It's one of the main financial reasons for owning a house. And you can use that equity to pay for college, weddings, retirement. Okay, mortgages are bad is what many people say, because the bigger the mortgage, the lower your equity. Well, here's where they're wrong. Let's say you buy a house for $300,000. and you get a $250,000 mortgage. So you put $50,000 down. On that $250,000 loan, you get a 30-year fix that saves 4% interest. Okay, it sounds like a fairly typical
sounds
example
like
that's
deal.
Out there. You're putting at least your 20% down. Okay, now we actually have they have a graphic here that we're going to put on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. Okay, they have a graphic that shows what happens. Okay, so by making your payments each month, your balance in 20 years, so on a 30-year loan, that $250,000 loan in 20 years is now down to
$117,000. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this supports the contention that equity grows as you pay off your mortgage, and that therefore the faster you pay off your mortgage, the faster your equity will grow.
Right.
But this thinking fails to acknowledge that this is not the only way that you build equity in your home. So that's because your home almost certainly is going to go up in value over the next 20 years.
True.
Okay, if the house rises in value at 3% per year, which is a very reasonable amount,
mm-hmm.
okay, we saw 4 to 5% for 30 or 40 years. Okay, so 3% per year, I think it's a conservative number. If we use that, the $300,000 house in 20 years will go up to $541,000 in value. Okay, that's a significant increase. So that's nearly $250,000 in new equity, even if your principal on your loan never even declined.
Mm-hmm, right.
So that's
right. So you still have the equity built in.
Right. So the equity goes up regardless of what happens with your mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the equity, so like in that situation, if you went from $250,000 on your balance down to $117,000, okay, so you gained roughly $130,000 in equity from paying down the balance.
Mm-hmm.
But in that same time period, gained $241,000 in equity from the appreciation. So it dwarfed how much equity you gained from paying down the mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
In case you just joined us, you'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking about the 11 great reasons to carry a big, long mortgage. All right. Reason number three, Tammy.
Reason number three is mortgage is really cheap money. And what we mean by that is mortgages, in fact, are the cheapest money you're ever going to be able to borrow. So just think about a credit card for a minute. Yes, they offer the 0% interest for 6 months, but could you go to them and borrow $300,000?
No.
Good luck with that one.
Not for 30 years, especially.
Right, especially for amortized over 30 years. So basically, you're going to get a loan when you demonstrate you have the ability to repay. And people, based on your credit score and all that good stuff, that's where you get your interest rate. And that's but how much interest will you pay over that time? And that's where, the better rate that you have, the better credit rating you have, the lower risk is. And a lender's going to offer you a better interest rate.
And the fact that they're using your house as
collateral right.
dramatically lowers
that's
the
right.
risk.
That's right. Because let's face it, a Macy's card, they can't come back and take the sweater back that you just bought.
Right. But they certainly could take your house back.
Right.
Which allows them to charge a much lower interest rate.
A lower interest rate because they have collateral around it. So,
and almost every loan out there is backed by the government, either government-owned Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac or government-backed or insured FHA or VA loans.
That's a whole other story.
Right. But the government backing does help keep our interest rates very
low.
That's
true. That's true. So, it really is a cheap way to borrow money.
Right. It is the cheapest money you're going to borrow over time. And there may be some really low interest rate car loans out there. But the thing is, they give you those low interest rate car loans because cars are a bad investment.
That's right.
And they're going to give you that cheap
probably
money just to get you to buy the cars because it's hard to get people to buy new cars nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
All right. So reasons number four and five are going to go together here, Tammy. And these are number four and five on the reasons to carry a big, long mortgage. Okay, your mortgage interest is tax deductible and mortgage interest is tax favorable.
So what's the difference?
So here's what we mean by that. So these two points are related, and together they offer you the important benefit of carrying mortgage interest you pay on loans to acquire your residence up to $1 million as tax deductible. Okay, so basically if you buy a house, the acquisition indebtedness is tax deductible. And that's an important distinction because if you pay cash for the house and then take a loan out later, that mortgage interest is not tax deductible. Only $100,000 of that could be tax deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you can borrow one of my great clients bought a $2.6 million home. Very smart. He took out a $1 million mortgage because that's tax deductible. Okay, so this and the tax deduction on mortgage interest is taken at your top tax bracket. So let's say if you're in the 35% tax bracket, well, every dollar you pay in mortgage interest, you save 35 cents in federal income tax. That's a big deal. So you save on the state income taxes too. So let's just say you're in 33% tax bracket and you get a 5% mortgage. Well, that loan costs you 3.35% after taxes. Okay, so meanwhile, if you invest that same money and you earn 5% interest, okay, your profits are only taxed at 20%, meaning that your after-tax profit is 4%. So even if your interest rate on the money you're borrowing is the same as what you're earning in return if you invest it, you still come out ahead even because of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very likely you're actually going to get a positive return there.
Right. That's right. So let's move on to number six, and that is mortgage payments get easier over time. So this is actually a story that he shares in the book about his dad. His dad bought a mortgage, and his monthly payment, are you sitting down? $98 per month. So, but back then he said, you know, this was back in 1959, and the house was $19,500, and his dad's father thought he was crazy because his dad only made $3,000 a year. So he'd be making house payments of $1,200 a year, and his granddad thought his dad was crazy. By 1970, his dad was just sitting back and thinking about this whole story because it really brought awareness around, like, his income had steadily risen over that whole thing, but his mortgage payment didn't. So here he is making the big bucks in 1970, whatever that can be, and then only having a house payment of $98. So that's, I mean, you take that story back then and you can apply that even today. As long as you buy smart, when you buy smart, meaning you don't overbuy too much, but buy enough to where your family can grow into the home. If you think ahead enough, you can actually get ahead and have the same scenario as his father did.
Yes, and I think that almost everybody's income does steadily increase over time as you get older. And there's going to be a peak to it where you reach your prime earning years, and you need to be prepared for your income to go down in retirement possibly.
Mm-hmm,
and hopefully not if you've invested wisely.
Right.
But that's definitely something that I see with first-time home buyers that maybe underbuy, and then they're having to move in just a couple of years because they've outgrown the house in 2 or 3 years.
Right. And that's where the questionable, where the equity.
Yeah. So would you put in those situations, are they better to challenge themselves on the payment a little bit? And I think people have to be cautious there because they never want somebody to overbuy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of my first rules of economics is to live below your means, and I definitely believe in that. So don't overbuy. And with all these strategies, you have to be able to afford the mortgage payment.
That's right.
And one caveat I'll say to this is that with all the strategies on this and the 11 reasons to carry a big, long mortgage, these are not strategies for somebody who's extremely undisciplined. These are strategies for more sophisticated people that you have to have a financial advisor and you have to be able to invest this difference. Okay.
A must.
Yes. It's an absolute must.
All right. If you don't have a financial advisor, just call or text.
Yeah. So I have lots of great financial advisors I work with. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm a debt advisor. Okay. I'm a mortgage professional, and I can advise you on the right mortgage to get to pay the least amount of interest over time. But I also can make introductions to financial advisors. And if you have a great financial advisor, I'd love an introduction to them.
Mm-hmm.
So reach out to me at 314-472-DOUG. That's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. You can call or text that number either way. Also, visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com and look for the blog post for the 11 great reasons to carry a big, long mortgage. All right, we've covered reasons 1 through 6. We are going to cover 7 through 11 when we return. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk.
Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. I am rejoined by Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Good to be here with you, honey.
All right. So we are talking about the 11 great reasons to carry a big, long mortgage. Okay. This was a concept from Rick Edelman. He's a financial advisor and major just personal finance guru. And this came from a book called The Truth About Money. And we actually are going to be giving away a free copy of that book. We're going to do a drawing for everybody that registers as a fan on our website this week.
That's right.
So go to smartwithyourmoney.com, register as a fan, and we'll do the drawing for The Truth About Money. So, all right, so let's get into this. We covered in the last segment, we talked about numbers, reasons one through six. To carry a big, long mortgage. Now, reason number seven is that mortgages allow you to sell without selling.
Right.
Okay, and here's what that means is that when you need access to your money, okay, and your money is tied up in the equity in your home, well, the equity in your home is like money that's buried in your mattress in many cases, that you know someone might sell their house to access that money, whether it's to buy their next house, whether it's to invest in a business, or you know put it into the market.
Right.
So you can take out a mortgage to access that equity and you'll be able to leverage that equity into some other opportunity. And you can do that without having to sell your house.
That's right. That's right. You can get into the next house, put that down payment on it or whatever it'll help to get that next property. Or, you know, Doug and I have, we've done investment properties with our leverage that we've had.
We use a home equity line of credit on our house to be able to buy those investment properties.
That's right. That's right. So that's kind of the whole idea around that.
All right. So Tammy, reasons number eight and number nine we're going to put together. Go ahead.
Put together. Mortgages allow you to invest more money and to invest it more quickly. And mortgages allow you to create more wealth than you otherwise would. So kind of like what we mentioned in the first segment in on reason number six, people get big mortgages on their first home simply because they don't have a choice. You're excited about buying a house, you don't have enough down payment, much money to put down, or whatever the case may be. Your income may be lower. As years go on, your family gets bigger, your incomes grow a little bit, and now all of a sudden you want to move into a bigger home. So whatever equity you had in your first home, many people want to use that equity to get into a new home. And so, Doug, basically let's talk to them a little bit about what you experience in the market when people go this route.
Well, it's a very, very common scenario, and we just had some great listeners in this week in a very similar situation. Okay, they've owned their house a long time, they have a lot of equity, and you know we're going to use a situation where somebody's netting $300,000 from the sale of their old house, and we're going to keep it simple and just say they're buying a new home for $300,000.
Right.
So they could pay cash for the house if they want to. So they could put $300,000
down. Put the whole money down. All the,
right,
all
and pay
the
cash for it. Or another alternative is they could put $60,000 down and take out a 20% mortgage. Okay? I'm sorry, they could have...
Right, 20% down.
20% down, take out an 80% mortgage.
Right.
So that would be a $240,000 loan on it.
Right.
Okay, here is a couple things that you want to keep in mind on this. Okay, this is where it's about wealth creation, not debt elimination. And this is an important thing to think
about. Say it one more time.
It's about wealth creation, not debt elimination.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So, you know, probably a more common scenario than this would be somebody wants to take out, instead of putting $300,000 down, they would actually want to put $200,000 down and take out a $100,000 mortgage. Okay. Well, know that you're going to get a better interest rate on a higher mortgage than what you're going to get on a small mortgage. And that's just the facts of life, that if you shop around with lenders, interest rate on a $300,000 mortgage is better than an interest rate on a $100,000 mortgage. It definitely makes a difference. So you can get a better interest rate on it, for one, and it's going to build wealth faster. So let's say that instead of the $60,000 down and you put $300,000 down, okay, so there's $240,000 difference. What if you invested that $240,000? And a lot of investment advisors are going to tell you they'll get you a 6-8% investment return over time. So let's just cut that in half, you know, go in the middle and say if you invest $240,000 at 7% return, what does that do for you over time? And we actually are going to put a graphic on our website to show this, because what it will show is how does that compare. Okay, because
now
we're going to compare $240,000 going as a lump sum into investment. We're going to make a comparison of that to the person who put $300,000 down and they've avoided a mortgage that would have been about $1,146 a month over the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if they took that $1,146 a month that they avoided and they put that into an investment,
mm-hmm.
how does that compare to the $240,000 lump sum?
Lump sum, right.
Well, it's significant. Okay, mm-hmm. if you go fast forward 20 years down the road, okay, the $1,146 a month going in will accumulate to a little bit less than $600,000. Okay, if you put the lump sum of $240,000 in, after 20 years, now you have almost $1 million that it's accumulated to at 7% return. Mm-hmm. Huge, huge difference.
Right.
You're talking about a difference of almost $400,000 by doing as a lump sum up front versus monthly payments.
That's right.
That's a big, big deal. So you have to be willing to accept a higher monthly payment to be able to do this.
That's true.
So I want to make sure we're clear on that. So how can you take the higher monthly payment? Well, here's a couple ways you can do it. Okay. First way, and I actually give this advice to a lot of first-time homebuyers, is so let's take a first-time homebuyer that doesn't have a mortgage deduction at all because they're not paying any mortgage interest. And we're comparing the mortgage payment to their rent. Well, one easy thing you can do is you go to your employer and you fill out your W-4 and you increase your number of exemptions so that you're not waiting until the end of the year to get a much bigger tax refund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one quick strategy to increase your paycheck today.
To show a monthly income.
Right, mm-hmm. to be able to afford that larger monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one of the ways. And there are other ways out there. You also could take periodic withdrawals from the investment. There's all kinds of different ways you can do it, but those are just two quick ideas. Let's move on to number 10, Tammy. Mm-hmm. So number 10 reason to carry a big, long mortgage. Okay.
Mortgages give you greater liquidity and flexibility. So explain that, Doug, to us.
All right, so liquidity and flexibility. So let's say we're going to use an example of two guys. You have nervous Nick and you have smart Sam. Okay, they're both in 25% tax bracket. Each has $100,000 in cash, and they want to buy a $300,000 house. Okay, so they could each put $100,000 down if they want to. Well, Smart Sam, he gets a $240,000 mortgage that's a 30-year fixed at 4%. He makes no extra payments over time. Nervous Nick takes a different approach. Okay, Nick hates mortgages, and he wants to get rid of his mortgage as quickly as he can. So he fears having a mortgage. He thinks he might one day lose his house. So he goes ahead and puts down, use the entire $100,000 he has in cash and puts that as down payment. So he takes out a $200,000 loan. And Nervous Nick gets a 15-year mortgage instead of a 30-year
mm-hmm.
because he hates mortgages, wants to pay it off faster. Well, beauty is a 15-year fixed is a better interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
So where Sam got a 4% rate, Nick's going to get a 3.5% rate. Seems like he's coming out ahead, right?
It seems like it so far.
Right. And Nick really wants to get rid of it fast, so he's going to send in an extra $100 a month on top of that to his lender to pay it off even faster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, common scenario. I see this all the time, and people come to me wanting to do this scenario.
Yep, they do.
All right, so now what happens when we take Smart Sam, his monthly payment's $1,146 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
because he got a better interest rate.
Right, and about 70% of that's going to interest. And after tax basis, he's out of 25% tax bracket. Well, he gets a bigger tax deduction than Nick because he's paying more interest.
That's right.
Okay, they're both in 25% tax bracket. So here's where it gets interesting. So if we fast forward down the road, both men lose their job. Okay, and you would think that Nick's in a much better position now that he's lost his job because he has a lot more equity.
Mm-hmm.
No, definitely not. Because when you look at the two situations, well, Nick doesn't have any liquidity. He's not liquid at all. He took all his $100,000 that he had and he put it all down in the house.
Right.
And now he's making a much larger mortgage payment
mm-hmm.
Because he's on a 15-year fix instead of a 30-year fix. And he's been paying an extra $100 a month. He's zapped all of his cash.
Right.
He has no flexibility. They're both jobless. Well, Sam, on the other hand, he saved a bunch of that money. Instead of putting $100,000 down, he only did $60,000. So he had $40,000 that went into an investment. Okay, he's at a lower monthly payment, which has now been able to accumulate into an investment. The extra $100 a month that Nick was paying down the mortgage. Sam's putting into an investment. If you add up everything that Sam did, he's now ahead $94,000.
Right.
Well, Sam now can access that investment. Now that he's lost a job, he accesses the investment to make the mortgage payment for a long mm-hmm. period of time. And it's not just losing a job. There's all kinds of different scenarios, Tammy, that mm-hmm. where this happens all the time. It could be a medical condition.
Right.
What if
right.
you, the wife has a baby and wants to quit work?
Right.
Okay. Any type of thing that could happen to make somebody not be able to have income coming in for a period of time where their income goes down, you can't get that money back once you pay it in.
Financial flexibility is what it's called.
Well, and they're not going to, you know, lenders aren't going to loan you money once you've lost that job.
That's right. And we have seen that time and time again with people. And because in this particular instance, Nervous Nick got a better interest rate versus Smart Sam, it's just interesting how the psychology is. And like you said, Doug, I mean, it's better to hold on to your cash.
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive because the conservative approach mm-hmm. is to get rid of the debt, mm-hmm. avoid the mortgage interest.
Right.
So what's reason number 11, Tammy?
Reason 11 is you'll never get rid of your monthly payment no matter how hard you try. And basically what we're trying to say on that is that you'll always have taxes and insurance and maintenance and repairs expenses.
Right. So even when your principal and interest is gone, you're right. You will always have taxes and insurance mm-hmm. are going to be there, and any HOA fees. Mm-hmm. And you're right, maintenance too.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a concept I want you guys to think about. Okay, think of that everything in life is 100% borrowed. And what I mean by that is that you're either paying interest to someone else or you're giving up interest on what you can earn.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want you to think about that, because if you can borrow money at a low interest rate, and then after your tax deduction, it's even less. So take a 4% mm-hmm. mortgage. After tax deduction, it may be more equivalent to a 3% mortgage. If you can invest that at a higher return, it's called arbitrage. And
right.
these are the secrets of the rich. Okay, these are the things that rich people do to get richer, and you can make yourself one of them. Our mm-hmm. website, smartwithyourmoney.com, is there to serve as a resource to help you be able to gain wealth over time. So, mm-hmm. Tammy, a couple things I'm going to do. One is there's a software I have that's going to model this out. So if you visit my website, it's Mortgage Coach is a software I use. If you visit our blog post for 11 reasons to carry a big, long mortgage, within that you're going to see a couple links to a couple scenarios where you're going to see this in real life. And what does it look like for the net worth over time?
That's right.
So visit smartwithyourmoney.com and hit those links. Also, register as a fan on our website, because we're going to give a drawing at the end of this week for everybody that signed up. We're going to give away the book, The Truth About Money, mm-hmm. to one of our lucky listeners. So be sure and register for that right away. And if you want direct advice on this, on your scenario, reach out to me at 314-472-DOUG, 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. You can call or text that number anytime. So coming up, we're going to be talking about the impact of inquiries on your credit score. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.